Verses 21 through 23 is our main text this morning. Philippians 1, 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your anointing this morning, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that it won't be church as usual. Lord God, that we're going to leave here changed and excited and refreshed and energized, Lord. That this is a group of folks that truly hunger and thirst for righteousness, and we want to be what you've called us to be, Lord. Let our ears be open to your word. Thank you. What needs to be said will be said. And Father God, that you are doing mighty things in our life and in our homes and in our hearts and in this land. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. And all everybody in the church said, amen. So God is so good. I missed you guys last week. That was an adventure all in itself. I'm not going to get into any of that. But man, God is so good. God is so good. We had a lot of trials and a lot of craziness went on this little trip, you know. But God was, I'm telling you, for every single obstacle that jumped in front of us, I promise, God was right there to make a way where it looked like there'd be no way. God is so faithful. Anyways, moving forward, the Apostle Paul here, writing a letter to the Philippian church. You guys are aware of what's going on here. But the Apostle Paul, he's in house arrest, on house arrest. And you say, well, that doesn't sound too horrible. And certainly, this isn't the worst prison by far that the Apostle Paul has ever been in or will be in. But he's on house arrest and he's chained to a Roman guard or a Roman soldier wherever he goes. And he does have this thing hanging over his head. At any time, he could be pulled out, put his head on a chopping block, and get his head cut off for being a Christian. That's why he's in prison. That's why he's sequestered, because he's serving God. And so this thing that he's dealing with right now, it could go either way. They could say, hey, Paul, get out of here. You're free to go. Or they could say, hey, Paul, meet me outside. We're going to chop your head off. And eventually, they do chop his head off. Okay. But he says this really, really interesting thing. And I've been chewing on these couple verses here for a couple weeks now. And I just want to share them with you guys. He says right here, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Man, that is super, super awesome. You know, he's like, you know, we weigh things out, you know. And he's, as he's talking to the Philippian church, he wants these guys to let them know something. He's like, for me, or this is how I look at this, Mr. Stimson. This is how the Apostle Paul looks at the situation that he's in right now. If they take me out of this cell, put my head on a chopping block, and chop my head off, okay, that is a gain for me. So if I gain something, right, this is Sunday School 101 or Kindergarten 101. If I gain something, I have something that I didn't have before, right? Everybody knows that. He's saying, man, if I die, I'm not losing anything. If I die, it's going to be better for me than I could ever, ever imagine. And he's not fearful of death. And he says, to live is Christ. If I'm going to live, if I'm going to stay in this body, I am going to be serving the Lord. To live is Christ, or to live is to serve or be the servant of the Most High God. And that's what he's telling the Philippian church. Hey, guys, if you get the news that I didn't make it, okay, it's going to be all right. Don't worry. All right. And if I do get out of here, whether I have to stay in this prison or this situation for the rest of my life, to live as Christ, I am going to be serving God as long as I'm here. These Roman soldiers I'm chained to, they're going to hear about the gospel. These other prisoners, they're going to hear about the gospel. If they let me go, if I'm out of here, man, I'm going to come see you, Philippian church. I'm going to be spreading the gospel. I'm going to do what I was made to do. But if you hear that I lost my head, if you hear that they put me to death, man, don't be sad for me. It's going to be better than I can ever imagine. And so here we are as Christians, and I certainly hope that you're a Christian. If you haven't been, if you're not a Christian, you need to do that today. Because this is, see, the Apostle Paul says right here, says, for to me. So he's talking about himself, not everybody. You got to be a Christian. Okay, in other words, the default setting is not eternal life in the arms of a loving Father if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have to be a Christian. I'm not saying you have to be perfect. Ain't nobody in here perfect. Ain't nobody pretend to be perfect here. But we accepted that precious gift. Amen? So you got to do that. But let's move forward. So in verse 21, he says, to die is gain. In verse 22, he says, I can't choose. In verse 23, he says, I'm hard-pressed between the two, hard-pressed between living or dying. If I have a choice in this situation, which one would I pick? Hard-pressed between the two. And also in verse 23, he says, my desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. So let's talk about the death part for a second. The Apostle Paul laid it out to the Philippian church. To live is Christ, to die is gain. If I'm alive, I'm serving God. I'm going to do what I was created to do. If I die, I'm going to go get my reward, and I'm going to do what I was called to heaven to do. We have this weird picture of heaven because this is what we know right here. You know, we're in this flesh and bone situation, and we see all these things. And I'm not saying everything around us is evil, but we're just passing through here. We're just passing through here. So for the believer, man, when we take that last breath, it's going to be better than we can ever imagine. And I'm at a loss for words on really how to explain that. We see that through Scripture over and over again. The Apostle Paul talks about it. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. So we need to be excited about this wonderful thing that awaits us. And the Christian doesn't have to fear death. But let's look at this situation right here for just a second. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Look at 2 Corinthians. Let's go to the next slide. 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 2. 2 Corinthians, excuse me. People 2 Corinthians 5, 8 is where I want to go. 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 8. Yes, we are of good courage. This is Paul the Apostle as well. Yes, we are of good courage and would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Isn't that pretty? See, I'm of good courage. I'm doing fine. I'm doing okay. And when I leave this body, I'm going to be with the Lord. And that's how we need to look at it as believers. Okay, when we do leave this body, okay, when I take my last breath, and that's how it's going to work. Every single one of us, you know, eventually our heart's going to stop. Eventually, we're going to take that last breath. That's just how this thing works here. But see, to be absent from the body or to leave this body is to be at home with the Lord. Look, yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. I like that part right there where it says at home. Like, okay, so when me and Rachel first got married, we had this little, tiny, tiny little place. It wasn't like a duplex, but it was an add-on to these other people's houses, this little, like, mother-in-law apartment that was attached to their house that we rented for a few hundred dollars a month. And it was tiny, and we did our best to make it feel homey. We got kicked out of it anyways because Rachel wouldn't follow the rules. But that's another sermon. But anywho, it just wasn't home, man. This is where we had to be at this time. It was a roof over our head, but it just wasn't home. Okay, and see that's the thing that the Apostle Paul is saying is like, I'm fine with being here, and as long as I'm here with the time I have left, however long that is, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be the best Paul the Apostle I can be. I'm going to make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do what I was called to do. But man, this ain't my home. See, look right here. To be away from the body and at home with the Lord. That's what we've really been made for, is to be with the Lord. And each and every one of us, we have a longing that we can't even quite put our fingers on before we're saved. You know, what is this? But we're homesick for that home that we've never had yet. We just know that we've been called to something bigger and better. And the Apostle Paul says, okay, if I die, okay, I'm going to be just fine. I'm going to be at home. Can I get a witness? Look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 2. For in this tent we groan. The Apostle Paul was a tent maker by trade. That's what he did. He'd go into town and he'd preach the gospel. And instead of trying to be a, a, as some people would see a burden on the local church or whatever, he would start making tents. He would get his hands dirty working in his area to try and make his own way. That's just one of the things that he did, but he was a tent maker. And so he uses this picture, this analogy, talking about the human body as like a tent, a temporary dwelling. You see what I'm saying? Something temporary. Okay. For in this tent, we groan. Can anybody relate to that? As I get older, I kind of get what the Apostle Paul's talking about here. In this tent, we kind of groan a little bit, man. As we get older, the things that used to work just fine don't work like they used to. Can I get a witness? For in this tent, we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. He said, he's hungering. Well, he's hungering for something better, something permanent, something lasting. And we know a little bit about what the Apostle Paul went through. We know about his shipwrecks and being adrift in the ocean and being bitten by snakes and flogged and whipped with 40 lashes, save one, and being beat with rods and being pelted with stones. And man, this guy had a hard go of it spreading the gospel. And so we're sure that he had some physical things that didn't quite feel right from time to time. And this is what he says. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. I'm longing for something better. He knows that there's something better for him. But he says, I'm kind of stuck in between the two. It'd be great for you, Philippian church. It'd be great for all my other disciples or whatever if I stick around. And if I do stick around, I'm going to make it count. I'm going to be about the Lord's business until he calls me home. But when he calls me home, don't worry about me. It's going to be better than you can ever imagine. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. And this is the attitude, you know, that we need to have. You know, excuse me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 55 and 57. Oh, death, where is your victory? Well, that's kind of easy for us to understand right there. As a Christian, Jesus Christ won the victory for us, okay? He defeated death, okay? So, oh, death, where is your victory? Death has no victory over the believer. Can I get a witness? Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? That's not to say that there might not be a little bit of pain in your last hours, your last moments, your last month. That's not really what it's talking about. It's saying, where is your death? Where is the fear that you're so famous for? Where is this pain and torment? Well, for the believer, there ain't really, we don't have to have that fear. Our Lord and Savior has defeated death. We have victory over death. That's the big thing Paul's talking about. It's like, man, I'm ready to go. I am just stoked about it. I want to do what God's called me to do. But when I go, man, ain't no grave going to hold me down. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Look at this verse, 57. But thanks be to God. But thanks be to God that he offered us salvation. Thanks be to God that he said, you know what? I have called you by name. I have called you by name. I called you from before you were ever put together in your mother's womb. I've called you to be my servant. So here we live, however long we've got on this earth, you know, however long that might be. We don't know, okay? But we are going to live forever and ever and ever somewhere, you know? And that is something that I'm excited about. I don't have a death wish. I don't want to leave anytime soon or anything like that. There's some things I would really like to see done before I depart. But I know this, that God knows what's best for me. And I know that with all my loved ones and so many of my friends that have been part of this church over the last several years, you know, I've taken part in their graduation services. I've been with them when the Lord's called them home with a lot of them. And man, I miss them, but I know they're doing just fine. I know they're doing just fine. And so I'm excited about the day when we have that reunion again, when I'll be able to see my buddies again. All I'm trying to say is Christians, believers in the Most High God, those of us that have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we don't need to be fearful. We don't need to be fearful of death. We can actually be excited about it. It's the springboard into our eternity, and it's going to be amazing. Can I get a witness? Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be amazing. Thank you, Jesus. But thanks be to God, because you can't do it on your own. You're not good enough, you're not cool enough, you're not rich enough. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that means something to the Apostle Paul. That was like the ignition, the propulsion, the thing that really got him going to be this amazing apostle. He's like, man, I was a sinner. I wasn't just your regular run-of-the-mill sinner. Okay, I was a murderer of Christians. He knew what he had been forgiven of, and he used that as something to propel him forward to be the best soldier for Christ that he could be. He's like, I was a good sinner, man. I was the best sinner. I was zealous for doing the wrong thing. I was good at doing the wrong thing. And now that I belong to Jesus Christ, I'm going to be just as zealous for doing what God has called me to do. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord some praise. Let's go to the next slide. So the Apostle Paul says this, Philippians chapter 1, 21 and 22. For to me, to live is Christ. Or for to me, to live is to serve Christ. We can look at it that way. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. He says, I'm going to make it count. Each day I'm going to make it count. If I'm still alive, if I'm still in this flesh, I'm serving the Lord. So let's look at 1 Samuel right here, talking about being in this flesh. What does this mean? Because we're saved people. We're not our own. We've been bought at a price. And that means something. That is, the precious blood of Jesus Christ was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. The most precious thing in the universe gave his life so we could live forever. Can I get a witness? Yeah, so look at 1 Samuel 12 and 24. This is when the great prophet Samuel was kind of giving, well, not kind of, he was giving his farewell speech to God's people. He's giving them some advice. Same advice works great for us. Can I get a witness? 1 Samuel 12, 24. Only fear the Lord. Is that true? Should we really fear the Lord? Should we? I think that just speaking about, well, I think that's a big problem today, don't you, even in church? It's like we don't really have that fear of the Lord. Man, I know that I have went astray so far when knowing in my heart of hearts, God is like, I'm not pleased with that. You know, I'm not pleased with that. You're my son. You shouldn't do that. And man, I have just so much as a Christian that I'm so glad that I've been forgiven of. I'm so glad, you know, that he is so merciful for us. Can I get a witness? Only fear the Lord. So yeah, we need to have reverence and respect for the Most High God. But see, it's like when my earthly father, would say, don't do this. And if I did it, I would have some fear about those consequences because I knew I'd broken a law of his. I'd done something that I shouldn't do. So now I knew that those consequences, I was going to have to pay for those. But see, if there's fear of those consequences, or fear of what God says, he's not waiting to throw a lightning bolt down on you. You know, he's like, the consequence is wrapped up in the action. The consequence is part of the action. If you choose to do this, this is going to happen to you. Okay, so there needs to be that reverence and fear to keep us on the straight and narrow. Does that make sense? You know, it's not that he doesn't love us. Okay, when a father or a parent loves you, he is going to bring correction into your life. Only fear the Lord and serve him. Okay, if I'm alive, the Apostle Paul, to be absent from the body? Oh, no, that's not our text. Everybody calm down. Just relax, you guys. For to me to live is Christ. Or for to me to live, I'm going to serve Christ. So look at this. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Not just Sunday morning stuff, right? Not just Sunday morning, but to serve him faithfully, you know, with our whole heart. That's a commitment right there. You know, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Okay, well, here's a really, really, really good reason why I should be devoted to serving my Lord. Because a lot of times the Lord will ask us to do something in Scripture that really doesn't tickle us behind the ears, man. Sometimes the Lord will ask us to do something in Scripture like, man, that goes, I'm not wired that way, Jesus. Well, see, sometimes we got to let them rewire us. Can I get a witness? Okay, now check this out. Serve him with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. Man, if you're honest, and we are in church right now, you know, what great things has he done for you? We can't even really count them. But let's just grab one big one, like the Apostle Paul. Man, I was a sinner. Paul Rutt was a sinner. You know, I did a lot of bad things. You know, my heart can be very crooked, and I'm still very capable of doing some pretty rotten things, okay? Am I freaking you guys out? For consider what great things he has done for you. Think about what God has done for you, man. I am a sinner that has been forgiven of my sins. I have been forgiven of my sins. What does that mean? Well, one of the big things it means is that when I do take my last breath, I'm going to live forever in the presence of my Lord and Savior. I'm going to be at home, that home that my heart longs for at this very moment. We're being called heavenward to something we haven't even experienced yet, but we have that hole that we know will be filled one day when we take our last breath. So why do I need to serve the Lord? Well, when you don't feel like doing it, when you don't feel like being obedient, okay, think about or consider what great things he has done for you. Look at 1 Peter 4:2. So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh or in that tent, however much longer I got on this earth, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. Is that good advice? Yeah, that's actually really, really good advice. Instead of being sidetracked with all the things that this world has to offer us that we ain't taking with us, you know, that's going to fade. And I'm not saying we can't have things, but it's like Preacher Fred used to say, it's not that you can't have good things, but God doesn't want those things to have us. You know, we can't let these things control us. No idols, you know. Okay, so here we go again. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, none of us know how much longer we're going to be here. We don't know that. I mean, think about what we've been through in the last few years and the crazy things that we've been through. I mean, our worlds can change just like that, and we've all experienced that. So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, we need to decide that. Like, okay, I don't know how much time I got left, but I'm going to be devoted to being what God's called me to be. That's what I need to be. The best dad, the best husband, the best servant of the Most High God, the best preacher, the best worker. You know, how about them apples on the job? You'd be the best worker you can possibly be because that's a witness for the Most High God. You know, I'm not going to get any more into that, but think about that, man. We represent Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew 6 and verse 33, because sometimes we can think, you know, if I don't play the game, man, if I don't try and get all the cool stuff and be devoted to getting all the cool stuff, I'm going to be left behind. Man, it's not about the cool stuff. And if you want cool stuff, if you want the big house and the fancy car, just work really, really hard. Don't expect anybody else to give that to you. Don't get mad because somebody else has that. Work hard, get it if you want it. Okay, but just put God first, right? Matthew 6, and don't your world. So what? Yep, there you go. Now check this out. Look, Matthew 6, 33. Here's a little cool little trick, if you want to call it a trick. It's not a trick, but God is laying it out here right in front of us. Sometimes we're worried about, man, I'm going to be left behind here. Well, Matthew 6, 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Be that servant of the Most High God. You know, be that servant. I want to obey the scripture. I want to do what the Bible says. Okay, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We can kind of sum it up in that verse. What is God looking for us to be or to do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love your neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor. The more you love God, the more you're going to be able to love your neighbor and think about other people. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Okay, all these things will be added to you. All these things will be added to you as well. Okay, so in the context of Matthew 6, 33, Jesus is talking and he's saying, you look at the birds. God takes care of the birds. Look at the flowers, all these things. And he said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live, so on and so forth. That's how the unbelievers go about their day. That's how the pagans go about their business. And you guys ain't pagans. So just put God first. That's what we got to do. Put God first. He'll take care of us. Let's go to the next verse. Let me in the next slide, Clyde. To live is Christ, to live is to serve Christ, to die is gain. This is Jesus Christ talking, because we don't know how much longer we have. This is kind of a weird thing. I'm just trying to get us energized, you know, to make the most of our days, to be that sold out individual, because that's what it's really all about, you know, to serve God. Can I get a witness? John 4 and verse 34. This is Jesus Christ. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." That's super cool, right? So what's going on here, for those of you that don't know, Jesus is in Samaria. And he's talking to this Samaritan woman at the well. Now, Jesus is doing something really, really cool here, because as a holy man, as a rabbi, it was unheard of him. It was unheard of rabbis to talk to women. It was to instruct women in the things of the Lord. And here's Jesus talking to this. I'm not saying it's right. That's culturally how it was back then. And Jesus is destroying some of these stupid prejudices right here in this one little part of Scripture. He's talking to a woman. He's sowing into her life. And he's actually talking to a Samaritan woman, okay? So talk about racial prejudice. Jews hated Samaritans, man. They couldn't stand them. Samaritans hated Jews. They mutually hated one another. Jews would go around Samaria. They'd take the long way to get to where they wanted to go. They just hated those cats so much. But see, here's Jesus being obedient to the Father, talking to this precious lady who was a sinner, just like all of us, talking to this woman that was different than him. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Okay, so here's the deal. The disciples go into the town. Jesus is at the well talking to this lady. The disciples go into town to get food. They come back and they got food. Jesus is talking to the lady, and the disciples are like, "Wow, I can't believe he's talking to this lady. It's just crazy." And they're like, "Rabbi, you need to eat. Teacher, you need to eat. You're starving, you know. Yeah, we got to eat, And this is what he says. It's not all about what my flesh wants. It's not all about filling my belly. It's not about what my flesh desires so much. Jesus said to them, "My food, my nutrients, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." And that's got to be us too, man. You know, we follow that template, amen? Jesus says there's more to life than just trying to fill your belly or fill your pockets or whatever, but to be what God's called you to be, to make that witness. Look at John 17 and verse 4. This is the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. This is right before his crucifixion, right before his crucifixion. And he has kind of given his disciples their last instruction for the most part before he goes to the cross. And then he's praying to the Father. And this is really interesting what Jesus Christ says about himself. John 17, verse 4. "I glorified you on earth." He's talking to his Father. "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." And we know he did everything that he was supposed to do. You know, when he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He said, "Paid in full." We know he accomplished what he was supposed to do. And the Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, talking to Timothy, says, "I've run my race. I've run my race. I fought the good fight. I've run my race. I've kept the faith." It's like, I did what I was supposed to do. And that's, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to, you know, I don't know how long I got. None of us do. But, you know, we need to make the best of our time and, you know, make every moment, make every day count and be that witness for a lost and dying world, because that's why we're here. And that's why we're here, to spread the love of Jesus, to be that witness, to plant that seed. Like, well, I don't ever lead anybody to Christ, but I talk to people about Jesus. Well, don't stop talking to people about Jesus. Don't stop doing that. Plant those seeds. Somebody will water, somebody will reap the harvest. You know, we're put here for a reason, to give God glory, you know. So we need to make the best of our time, or the most of our time. I glorified you on earth, Dad, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Look at Romans 14, verse 8, kind of summing up the whole ball of wax here. Like the Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I die, man, that's spiffy. That's dandy. It's better than I can imagine. And that's going to come to us all one day. Romans, but if I live while I'm in this flesh, I'm serving God. I'm going to be his servant. I'm going to be his faithful servant. I'm going to grow in relationship with him. I'm going to be what he's called me to be. Romans 14, verse 8. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If I live, as long as I live, I'm serving God. I'm going to be his servant. For if we live, we live to the Lord. I'm serving God. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Whatever happens to me, man, I belong to the Lord. So to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. We are blessed people. Okay, we have much to look forward to, but we need to be out there turning over those stones. We need to look for those opportunities. And I want to challenge everybody to learn how to juggle at least three things at one time in the next 6 days. No, we won't do that. But I want to challenge you. I don't know why I say such stupid stuff, but here we are. Okay, looky here. Challenge, here's the challenge. Baby, hold on. Look for opportunities. Look for opportunities to be a witness, some way, shape, or form. You don't have to get in front of somebody's face at Taco Bell and quote scripture. Look for an opportunity just to show the love of Jesus to somebody. And pray. Pray when you get in your vehicle in the morning. God, let this be a productive day. Not just that I work hard and make the money that's due me, but that this will be a productive day, that I'm able to plant those seeds, that I'm able to be used by God to encourage people, and that God's name will be lifted up. And I can promise you this, if you pray that prayer and mean it, God will give you all kinds of opportunities to witness to people and to be there for people. So go ahead and try it, man. Go ahead and try it. Say, God, give me an opportunity to be used by you today. And it's hard. We don't think about that sometimes. You know, it's like, I got to go. I got to do the thing. I got to put the food on the table. I get it. I understand it. We're all in that mode. We got to do that. But we've also been here to be God's servant. And we don't want to miss any opportunities. Can I get a witness? All right. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing my friends, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you've been so good to us. We love you and we praise you. Thank you that we hunger and thirst to be more like you.